Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Sorry, I realized I didn't turn myself up. I did the other two ladies here in the studio, which are, other than me, Bonnie,
Nikki, and Lori.
Yes, so I was really quiet there, so I'll give it again. It's 603-283-6160. That's the phone number to call in if you'd like to get on with us and talk about whatever is on your mind or whatever you're talking about. It doesn't matter. That's what Free Talk Live is all about.
So this is exciting. We have another episode of She Talk Live. It's been a minute.
Yep.
Aria left,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I don't think there's been one since Aria left.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really exciting. We used to do that every Wednesday for those that are new here, just me, Aria, and Nikki, and we called it She Talk Live instead of Free Talk Live. And
then Lori was doing it for a while.
Yeah.
With
it was like a year ago.
I think it was with us and Aria.
Yeah.
And then I think we had an episode, the three of us, right?
Yep, we did. That was one of the first ones I ever was the first chair.
That was a good one, too. I don't even remember what we talked about, but I just remembered we had, like, such a good show.
I remember we talked about Free Britney.
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah, it was good.
And now she's allegedly free, but it seems more like they just went covert with the, like, control over her life. It's really weird.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole Britney situation, I haven't been, like, following it too closely, and we're talking about Britney Spears. If anyone is not familiar, but, yeah, it just seems like maybe she was insane. I don't know if it was like psych meds or trauma or whatever, but now we're kind of seeing like based on just her content on social media. It's like, okay.
She's obviously like asking for help. Like I think it's
so obvious. Feels very unhinged. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know what happened, but I don't know.
I imagine living your whole life with somebody orchestrating everything you do would make you insane the moment you get, you know, all of that plopped in your lap.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of child stars, I mean, we saw that with, like, who, like, Lindsay Lohan and some of the other child stars where, like, they finally, you know, like, they're out of the grasp of Disney. Like, they stop being a Disney star, and then finally they get some freedom when they're, like, a teenager or an adult, and then they just, like, can't handle it because they're so used to everything being controlled and,
kind of Justin Bieber, too. Justin Bieber went, like, driving around. I didn't know this until just, like, 2 days ago that there's a video of Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez where it's, you know, not 100% confirmed, but it's pretty obvious that they were going there to try to buy meth. And I was just
I didn't know about that.
Like, I just wouldn't expect a celebrity, like, big celebrities like that, like, some of the biggest celebrities to be like, yeah, let's do meth.
Yeah, you think they would do better drugs.
Yeah, like,
no. Well, I'm older than you guys, so you don't remember, like, Whitney Houston back in the day with the crack is whack. And, like, they've always done all of the drugs.
Yeah, but she was saying she didn't do crack. Maybe she was
like. Yeah. Well, she was definitely doing crack, though.
Hmm.
Yeah, where's the receipt?
I just think that's crazy, like. I don't know. It'd be so sad if, like, Selena Gomez became, like, anorexic with pox all over her face.
Well, and it does seem like meth does really feel like next level. Like, it does really feel, like, beyond crack.
Even beyond crack, yeah, honestly.
You know, yeah, like, it really just does. It,
not
I don't
that
know.
Crack is okay. I mean, all of these things should be legal, in my opinion. It was just really shocking to me. And since this is a show about mostly about how crappy the government is, let's get into this article I have here about the U.S. Air Force wanting $5.8 billion to build 1,000 AI-driven unmanned combat aircrafts, possibly more, as part of its next-generation air dominance initiative. So that means they want to kill people with robots, unmanned flying robots. It says the Air Force is seeking a multi-billion dollar budgetary allowance to research and build at least 1,000, but possibly more, unmanned aircraft driven by AI pilots.
I'm sorry, this just, like, really feels like Star Wars to me.
Yeah.
Like, they literally did this, and it did not end well.
What happened in Star Wars?
You know what I mean? Well, I just, like, the Empire, you know? Like, it was...
The clones?
They were definitely, yeah, like, they were definitely used... For evil. Well, the clones were different because the clones, they just, like, cloned this one guy.
But he
was. So that was that army. But then they also had, like, I guess the stormtroopers aren't really, like, they're still people. They are the clones, but they also had, like, the robot army thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, I don't know. It just seems.
It seems.
I don't know.
Unethical to me.
It's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Anyway, like, AI can't even get fingers right in a picture. How are you going to let AI have control over lives?
That's a great point.
I'm still not okay with the idea of unmanned cars driving around on highways and stuff. I don't know if that's really happening yet. I know that things will happen like...
I think it is. In San Francisco, I think they had like taxis.
Whoa.
Like I think like beta type testing things are being done in certain areas.
I know that like Teslas, if you're in the parking lot with it, you can tell it drive to me.
Yep, there's that feature. And then I think some cars also will like, parallel park.
Yep.
Because they do have the sensors.
I don't know. There's nothing crazy about that to me. But when it comes to, like, oh, I'm going to drive halfway across the city and come pick you up and bring you to where you want to go, that's just crazy. It just seems to me like I can't trust AI to be that good yet. Like, it's not just going to be, like, whatever, I'm taking the risk, I'm taking the exit, you know, and cut someone off and kill people.
It all seems unnecessary and really rushed.
Well,
like, if you can't parallel park, then don't park in a parallel parking space. I don't know,
right?
Like, that's a good point. I tend to avoid it. So, let's go on. It says, the XQ-58A Valkyrie aircraft, a potential contender for the Air Force's Collaborative Combat Aircraft Program, is meant to serve as a robotic wingman to human-piloted aircraft, able to provide cover and maneuver around in scenarios where a flesh-and-blood pilot might struggle. The New York Times reported, and they're ideal for suicide missions in which a human would be unlikely to return.
That, I mean...
The first thing I thought was suicide, like, kamikaze, like, just driving, flying into a group of people.
I'm sure that's one of...
Or, like, you know, I'm thinking of, like, suicide bomber type things. I know that's different, because normally they're not in airplanes, but it just really feels like, why are we sending anything or anyone on missions like that? Like, why is that necessary?
It's pretty awful to even think of, like, humans actually doing that. But, you know, just in the name of getting more oil for the United States.
And that's the thing about this whole thing. I'm like, I feel like it just, no matter what the military is doing, like, just the thought of increasing the budget for spending for anything for the military, it's like, we're talking about going to murder people here.
Yep.
You know, so it's like, any reason or anything that is kind of supposed to help that or increase that, I'm just going to be against.
Yeah.
Like, it just always feels like a bad idea. It always feels unethical. Like, there's no good way to do this, you know? And it's, I mean, some people could argue, like, okay, well, if we have robots fighting wars, then it's less human casualties.
Well,
but still, it's like, why are we doing this?
That would just be less American human casualties, right?
Exactly,
because,
yeah.
First of all, I mean, even piloted drones and stuff have killed real people that weren't supposed to be getting killed, like wedding parties, family.
Yeah.
Children,
I mean, like, innocent people. I mean, all of them are innocent, more than likely, but, you know, it's sad. Like, family, like, residential-type areas.
And it just seems wrong to me, even if it is people who signed up to be in the war against robots, it seems wrong to me to be like, oh, your country's life versus our robot fighting jets.
It's just kind of pathetic to me that we haven't evolved past violence and destruction.
Bondage.
Yeah, it's like, can we not just have, like, two world leaders, like, especially at this point where we have governments, we have, you know, elected and established leaders, right? We haven't evolved to, like, two of these world leaders can have a conversation about something and actually settle things, you know, the diplomatic way versus, like, okay, well, you're not doing what I want you to do, or I want to steal this from you, so we're going to go bomb your country and murder a bunch of people. It's, like, why is that the solution at this point in civilization? It's pathetic.
It's the only solution now.
Yeah.
It used to be like, oh, we're going to war. But now it's like, which one? Which war that we're in?
Yep.
It's constant war.
Yep. The whole time I've been alive, the whole time most people I know have been alive, America has been at war. And it hasn't even been declared from Congress since, I think, World War II. Or maybe World War I, just way before any of us three were alive.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing about it that bothers me is the fact that they always ask for way more money than they need, and then the Pentagon is always, like, losing $1 trillion that they can't keep track of. So, it's like, they're asking for multi-billions here. I wonder if they even need that to...
I doubt it.
...build these. Yeah, they always ask for more than they need. The government always does. Because they'll just print more money for them.
When we've done shows where we talked about articles specifically about the Pentagon and their accounting issues and how they're constantly losing money, and even, you know, the military spending budget, they're like, oh, yes, this is a $12,000 mug.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, they're just so sketchy.
Yeah. Because the contractors that build things can ask for whatever price they want, and they'll be given it because the government is basically mostly about the prison and, or I'm going to say the military-industrial complex.
It's money laundering.
Yeah.
That's
all absolutely.
It is.
Yeah.
Mass-scale, legalized money laundering.
Like,
I mean, that's like all of politics,
yeah.
Right?
The whole government.
Yeah.
Like when the terrorists from 9/11 came just to destroy a room filled with money and money receipts or something like that at the Pentagon. Seems so likely that that would happen. So later this year, the craft will be tested in a simulation where it will create its own strategy to chase and kill a target over the Gulf of Mexico, the Times reported. That seems really dangerous. Aren't people like fishing down there? Insider previously reported that the Valkyrie can cruise at 550 miles per hour. Its operational altitude is 45,000 feet with a range of 3,000 nautical miles. They are also, so does that mean the range, does that mean like how far away it can be from the operator?
I'm not sure. It must be, yeah.
Because I didn't even think about that, like,
yeah.
How far can your remote go? It's probably not a remote, but what if you...
Well, because if it's AI, yeah, I just...
And there's actually it's an AI.
It's probably got like some kind of communication tower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if it like loses Wi-Fi in the middle of the air? Like, does it just fall on somebody's house?
I mean, who knows? Probably.
I'm sure it's not Wi-Fi. I'm just being silly. But it says there are also other research and development efforts underway. The budgetary estimate, which Congress has not yet approved, lists $5.8 billion in planned expenses over 5 years to build collaborative combat aircraft systems like Valkyrie. The request comes after several years of test flights by the Air Force of the Valkyrie platform, in which the vehicle has been used as a data link for F-22s, F-35s, and the Air Force's Skyborg program. Just come on, like, you're naming it Skyborg. It sounds like Terminator.
Yeah.
Skynet. And Borg program. Which is an artificial intelligence-enabled system to control unmanned aircraft. I knew this guy when I lived at a military base in Utah called Dugway Proving Ground. His dad used to test vehicles for the military in Yuma Proving Ground in Arizona. And he told me that his dad told him that they were driving like military tanks or something like that, like some kind of vehicle, with Xbox controllers. Like that was like a new thing in like 2012.
An RC tank.
But I don't know exactly what he was driving.
I mean,
oh, but yeah. Yeah,
but no, either way, an RC, like, military vehicle, you know, like, no matter what it is, it's just like, oh, that's
It wasn't just
strange.
Remote either. It was an Xbox controller.
Oh, like, specifically.
Like, and I was just thinking, like, that's why they have all these boys playing Xbox. It's like,
training.
Yeah.
All the Call of Duty games. And
yep.
Yeah, it's just, like, really disgusting. It's like, this is a game to them.
Yeah.
Literally.
That's so true.
Well, it helps dehumanize.
Yeah.
The other person that they're attacking.
That's what I've always thought about Call of Duty and those other games.
Yeah.
Like, even when I see a commercial, because I play this phone game all the time called Angry Birds, I usually play it just so I can, like, listen to a podcast and have something like I'm doing with my hands. And I get so many ads on that because, like, I watch an ad to get some reward. It's ridiculous. But a lot of the ads are about another phone game they're trying to make me play, and I don't want to play, like, any other one. I just want to play that one. But a lot of them will be basically, like, some kind of Call of Duty phone game where you're killing, like, 100 people at once. And I'm always just thinking, like, I know it's, like, the thing that moms would do in the 90s, like, this is making our son violent. But
it probably is.
Has to at least be making people think less about human life. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, it just seems like there's, I don't know, better things to do. I always feel that way with, like, especially those violent video games. Like, can't you play Animal Crossing or something a little bit more civilized?
Yeah,
I don't know. I used to play a lot of Call of Duty.
I'm not good at it. Like, I can't even point and walk forward. I'm just so bad at it.
I'm not really, like, a video game person in general. Like, aside from, like, Mario, that's all I'm really interested in.
The main thing I ever really played was DS games, because it's, like, right in front of your face.
Yeah, like Nintendogs.
Yeah, like Nintendogs, Animal Crossing, Wild World, and, like, Mario games, like you said. I don't know how we got into this. Basically, just because that's basically what the military is, it's a video game, because they have this thing called the Skyborg program, and they're testing artificial intelligence-enabled systems to control unmanned aircrafts. I don't know. That one part about it really freaks me out, that they are controlled by artificial intelligence. Like, is there going to be a human? Well, it doesn't make it really any better. If there's a human in D.C. sitting there controlling something, it doesn't really make me feel better in the human rights aspect, that there's somebody in Iraq or whatever getting bombed by this thing that they have absolutely no defense against.
Yeah, either way, I just really don't like it.
It's like, think of, like, dual rules, like, I don't know, like, back in the day when people would fight with swords or something.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't just go up behind somebody and be like, stab, I stabbed you in the with a sword in the back.
Yeah, it's fighting dirty, right?
Yeah, it's fighting dirty. That's what it seems like to me. But on huge proportions that we've never seen before. The Times, citing congressional exceptions, reported that the costs of the Air Force's collaborative combat aircraft will be between $3 million and $25 million, depending on their status as expendable, or exquisite. Even the higher-end figure is far less than a manned aircraft with a pilot, both of which are valuable to the force. So they're trying to, you know, make it sound good because it costs less, because there's not a human on it.
Well, they want them cheap so that they can
kill more.
Drive them into buildings and blow people up.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I really think they'd probably be doing stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Well, they already said that, right? The suicide missions. Yeah, they're like, oh, well, we don't have to kill people anymore. Or, no, sorry.
Only.
They are still killing people. Now they just don't have to waste their own resources and soldiers. They can just, you know.
It only has to fly for, you know, just a little bit of time. We can make them cheap.
Yep. Like, I've heard that in World War II, there was something where somebody was like, oh, look, this type of aircraft is the best because it came back looking the best, but really it was a bad study because all those ones were the ones that didn't actually make it out, because all the ones that went, they came back really messed up because, I don't know, so I just think it could be a suicide mission, as in usually they just go there, shoot until the plane gets taken down, so they'll probably just, like, shoot at people until it gets taken down, but if they're doing kamikaze stuff, that's just another level of crazy. We're just going to take this RC, not helicopter, what are these things, jets, and just shoot it straight at a building, like you said. That's crazy.
Well, it won't even be RC. AI, they'll be, like, you know, programmed to do a job, and then it'll just leave and go do its job. They don't have to do anything. So that's even less work that they have to do. They don't even need to have somebody controlling it.
That's so crazy.
They just program them all, and then they fly.
I'm just realizing it probably wouldn't be from D.C. They probably have, like, a base in the country they're taking over. And then from there, it'll just go a few miles, and it'd be so easy. That's really crazy, and not right. Oh, my God, it even mentions Terminator here. It says, while the Air Force's Next Generation Air Dominance family of systems effort, which is focused on delivering air superiority through the development of a crewed next-generation fighter jet, supported by uncrewed collaborative combat aircraft, has garnered widespread military support, human rights advocates are concerned that the unmanned war machines included in the plan pave the way to a Terminator-style dystopian future. I've never even seen Terminator, and I said that. because I know what Skynet is from Terminator. Says, somebody said, you're stepping over a moral line by outsourcing killing to machines, by allowing computer sensors rather than humans to take human life. Mary Wareham, the advocacy director of the Arms Division of Human Rights Watch, a proponent of international limits on autonomous lethal weapons, told The Times. Other AI weapons opponents, such as the nonprofit Future of Life Institute, call these advancements slaughter bots because algorithmic decision-making in weapons allows for faster combat than can or that can increase the threats of rapid conflict escalation and unpredictability, as well as the risk of creating weapons of mass destruction. So it will increase the risk of that, I guess.
Well, I mean, yeah, I would say so.
I guess if another country is getting hit by slaughter bots, they would be more likely to want to just, like, nuke the other country.
Well, yeah, it's just really escalating things.
Mm-hmm. It really does seem to be, like, a huge escalation. That they're even talking about it is pretty bad. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres said as far back as 2019 that machines with the power and discretion to take lives without human involvement are potentially politically unacceptable, morally repugnant, and should be prohibited by international law.
It does feel like a war crime. It feels like it's crossing a lot of ethical boundaries.
It probably should be. I mean, the United States says war crimes all the time.
Yeah, that's kind of their thing, right?
Yep.
Well, when you take human decision-making out of it, too, you can't correct any mistakes.
Hmm.
So if it's programmed to do something, and it goes on this mission to blow up whatever, but there's a bunch of school kids in the yard of where they're supposed to blow up, a human might be like, oh, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But a machine's not going to do that. It's going to be like, cool, boom, done.
And, I mean, this has been what they've been trying to create humans into with the Air Force, like turn them into psychopaths that don't care and will just listen to orders and kill, and they've been pretty successful, but this is, like, another step towards...
Well, right, so then they can skip that whole part in boot camp where they're dehumanizing you, because that's why they do that. They're dehumanizing people, they're taking away their sense of self and their sense of individuality, and they're just trying to make them blindly follow orders. Like, that is the point of boot camp in all branches of the military, is to make people, like, just, you know...
AI.
Yeah, essentially. So, like, now we can just skip that whole part. And another aspect of this is there's been, like, a world record low or whatever, a very low admission rate into the U.S. military. Like,
yeah,
people don't want to join the military anymore.
Weird.
A lot of young people don't want to.
Weird. Why wouldn't you want to?
Exactly.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call 603-283-6160. What do you think about that? Would you join the military right now? 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. Hurricane Idalia is impacting Georgia. The National Hurricane Center says the storm will continue to move across the southeastern Georgia area through the evening. Idalia made landfall this morning as a Category 3, the strongest hurricane to hit Florida's Big Bend area in 125 years. Airports across Tampa Bay are planning to open. Departing flights and other normal services will start back up tomorrow. Unions are showing strong support across the board. Ryan Daniels has more.
Gallup polls found 71% support for unions last year. New data out this week shows over two-thirds of Americans still support organized labor. Numbers from the AFL-CIO show support is especially strong among younger Americans.
Today is the two-year anniversary of the last U.S. military flight leaving Afghanistan as the Taliban took over. I'm Dave Collins, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That you control. 603-283-6160 is the number to call if you'd like to talk to us. And we actually do have somebody on the line. And I just exit off, I think. 603-283-6160. That's that number to call if you'd like to get on the phone with us. Oh, I figured it out. Okay. It's Skeeter.
Yay.
Skeeter, you're on in California, and you're on Free Talk Live with us. What's on your mind?
Holy crap, I got on. Hey, thanks, Bond, for taking my call and yesterday in Talk Live. Yep. It's your favorite pro-war fact-monger, ya boy.
Your pro-war?
Yeah, of course.
Just because of the escalation?
Yeah, war destroys states. It actually opens up a window for you to do your secession movement or whatever.
Does it, though?
I'd rather the United States secede and people not get murdered. But
it also seems war just perpetuates the state because they're profiting off of it.
Right.
I think you're committing what's called the broken window fallacy, girl.
What is that?
No, I'm not. The broken window fallacy, okay, bye, Skeeter, you never know what you're talking about. The broken window fallacy is like, oh, if you are literally not committing it, because the state does profit off of it, the average person doesn't. The broken window fallacy means like, oh, if you wake up and a store owner downtown had his window broken, is it like, do you say, oh, well, actually the community will make more money because of the fact that somebody will now need to be paid to fix the window. Somebody could make that fallacy thinking that it makes sense. Like, now more money will circulate in the community because somebody whose job it is to fix windows will have to go fix it. But in reality, if that never happened, the store owner would be more productive doing the things he wants to do and not having to pay to get his window fixed. He's claiming that Nikki made that fallacy by saying that the state profits off of
War in general.
But the state does.
Which is true, because they are.
They gain power. They gain, a chance
we
to...
Don't, and let's be clear. We, the average, human being that live under government dictatorship, do not profit off of war. Yeah. It is, specifically the state that is profiting off of war. Like, I'm not profiting off of it.
Right.
You know?
And one of the ways they profit isn't even necessarily money, even though it is also money in the form of resources and stuff like that, but it's also just power. Like, the Twin Towers got bombed. Looks like we need to write the Patriot Act, things like that. So, yeah, Skeeter's just always wrong, and I don't like talking to him. That's why he said, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it got on. So I just like hanging up on him.
He sounds so creepy. Like, he sounds like, I don't know.
He did say something weird about
your feet. He kind of sounds like Beavis and Butthead a little bit.
Oh, my God, you're so right. Ew. Ugh, that grosses me out. Well, in the last segment, we were talking about the Air Force asking for basically like a Skynet-type weapon to use against other countries, an AI-driven jet. They want 1,000 of them. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about an article from The Guardian that says Silicon Valley elites revealed as the buyers of $800 million of land. And apparently they want to build a utopian city.
Well, where, in Hawaii?
Nope, it's actually in Northern California, but yeah, that does make sense. Like,
kidding, because I don't think there's that much land. I forget the quantity of land you said, but it sounded like more than would be on Hawaii.
Oh, no, it's just $800 million worth of land.
Oh, okay, it was in dollars, okay.
Here it says it's 55,000 acres of farmland in Northern California. And I haven't actually read this article, so let's get into it. Says, after weeks of local speculation, the purchaser of 55,000 acres of Northern California land has been revealed. The group, Flannery Associates, backed by a cohort of Silicon Valley investors, has quietly purchased $800 million worth of agricultural and empty land, the New York Times has reported.
You said 55,000 acres?
Yep.
That is so much land.
I really don't have any kind of a...
That is a lot of land. Like, I can't even think of, like, a state or something I could compare that to.
Let me just, like, Google.
But, yeah, like, just look up how big Connecticut is.
Acres?
Because I'm like... Connecticut. Like, think of it. Like, if somebody owns, like, a property that has 5 acres, like, that's a decent amount of land. Like, you could have a small running farm on 5 acres of land.
Yeah, but this is, like 1,100 times that.
I mean, that's crazy. That is a lot of land.
I forgot that this computer uses SIRX.org for search, and it's the absolute worst search in the world, so I'm not even going to try to figure that out. Oh, wait, it says Connecticut is the gateway to New England. The state is approximately 3.5 million acres. So, yeah, I did find it. Sorry, C-Rex.
So 3.5 million. Okay, so that's actually a lot bigger.
I wonder how much Rhode Island is. That's what I should have done.
I'm surprised Connecticut's that big.
I know, me too.
Right. It is hard to fathom, like, how big an acre is, like, in...
It's a football field.
Yeah, but it's hard to fathom...
1 acre. About a football field.
It's hard to fathom that, like, in regards to, like... a state, you know what I mean? Like, how much land, like, to think of 55,000 acres in regards to the state of California. It's a lot.
Yeah,
either way,
it's a lot.
It's a ton of land, and it is sketchy that investors are...
And we haven't gotten to this part yet, but I wonder what it means by that they want to build a utopian city. Yeah.
I mean, I think we could assume, probably.
This one,
what that would mean to some Silicon Valley investor from California,
white and old.
This actually puts it way more in perspective. This on Quora.com, so who knows if it's really right, because that's just people answering, says that Rhode Island is a relatively small state, and it has a total land area of approximately... Oh, wait, that's not... acres. Oh, 660,000 acres.
So that's 660,000 acres.
Yeah, that puts it into perspective even more to me for where I used to live in Utah on Dugway Proving Ground is roughly the size of Rhode Island. So that's even bigger than this.
Wow, that's crazy.
City that apparently they're going to try to make in Northern California.
That's almost even more disturbing.
It is really disturbing. And
that's crazy.
The part I was allowed to be on was only 5 miles in radius.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's like, what are you doing over there with all the rest of that land?
Right.
It's a little bigger than two Keens.
Okay. Keen is a great, that's, you know,
23,000.
Yeah, it's like, okay, my brain can understand that. Good.
All right, so that'd be, you know, like a decent-sized city. It says the project was spearheaded by Jan Ceramic, a 36-year-old former trader for the investment banking firm Goldman Sachs, and is backed by prominent Silicon Valley investors, including Michael Moritz, a venture capitalist, Reid Hoffman, the co-founder of LinkedIn, Lorraine Powell Jobs, the founder of the philanthropic group Emerson Collective, and wife of Steve Jobs. Okay, I wondered that. Mark Andreessen, I'm thinking of Gavin Andreessen, an investor and software developer, but now I wonder if they're related. Gavin Andreessen did, Bitcoin at the beginning. Patrick and John Collison, the sibling co-founders of the payment processor Stripe, which is huge, and the entrepreneurs David Gross and Nat Friedman, the Times reported. Though Flannery has been purchasing farmland and empty plots over the past 5 years, it has only recently started interacting with local officials and residents, according to the Times and local reports. Flannery has purchased land from farmers for several times more than the market value and become the biggest landowner in Solano County, an area 60 miles northeast of San Francisco.
They're actually suing the farmers now.
Flannery?
People. Yeah, because they said that they took advantage of them. They charged too much and took advantage of them. So now they want to sue for some of their money back.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it seems like they can't do that.
No, I mean, that's silly.
It's like, okay, well, you're the idiot that bought it for more than you're saying it was worth.
You agreed and you paid it.
Yeah, like, you can't buy
you
a house.
Papers. Yeah.
You know, that's like me buying a house right now and then the market crashing and then me being like, well, like, no, you have to take the loss.
Yeah.
Because that's the name of the game, you know? It's like
not even the market crashing. Just you buy a house and 10 minutes later be like, no, I think that was too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want some of that back.
I really hope they lose that because that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It says that the land bought by the firm encircles Travis Air Force Base in Fairfield, a city of about 120,000 residents, and home to Anheuser-Busch Co. Brewery and the Jelly Belly Jelly Bean Factory. Kind of funny.
It's like
little,
so random.
Yeah, random facts. Recently, Flannery, which is the group that's buying this land, has been meeting with local officials and representatives, according to the Times. It has also been sending out opinion polls to local residents to gauge their feelings on an initiative that could appear on Solano County voters' ballots. This project would include a new city with tens of thousands of new homes, a large solar energy farm, orchards with over a million new trees, and over 10,000 acres of new parks and open space, a screenshot of the survey obtained by the newspaper reads. I just feel like that's kind of like they're trying to promise people that stuff so that way they will vote for, you know, this utopian city or whatever. They're like, we're going to get new parks. We're going to get orchards. And then they're not going to give it to them.
Right. Then they'll divide it up into voting districts with that being a big chunk of all of them. Have control of California.
Well, it says the poll also asks if residents would support the project if it was placed in an area with, quote, bad soil that only contributes 5% of the country's agricultural production, unquote, according to a Facebook post from Kathleen Moy, the mayor of Fairfield, the closest city to Flannery's purchases. I don't really get what that's supposed to mean. Despite the lofty goals set forth by Flannery, the group faces an uphill battle that will affect each step of the process of creating a new city from scratch. And I'm honestly really interested in this, mostly because it's just a dream. It's not that I'm, like, working on this openly or anything. But I think that lots of free staters should come together and make a city in New Hampshire and just refuse to have welfare refuse to have a lot of stuff that people have, because everything that people complain about cities is basically just a problem because of welfare. Like, I don't want homeless people laying around the streets. They wouldn't if they couldn't get any welfare.
That's actually a good point, and that's why you'll see, more homeless people in more liberal cities where they can get more benefits. I mean, it makes sense. We were actually talking about this on Sunday, kind of. We were, Richie Rich was brought up the idea of, like, Occupy Ghost Town, right? So, I mean, that would be more like out west.
Yep.
You know how they have, like, the ghost towns that already have the infrastructure, so that's the point. A town that already has the infrastructure, and we proposed Berlin, New Hampshire as, like, an example.
Oh, or like Charlestown.
Berlin. Yep, so Berlin, and, you know, it's very far north, very low population, but at one point it had a much higher population because it was a mill town, and then, you know, as industry leaves an area, you know, jobs leave, people leave. So it has the infrastructure for a far higher population than is currently using it. So essentially the idea is, you know, get a bunch of libertarian folks to move up there and take over the town, so to speak. And of course it's northern New Hampshire, so the people there are already typically going to be cool anyways. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like we live in, and that's the thing, like people are like, oh, you're trying to force people to like, oh, secession, and you're trying to take over the government and all this stuff. Most New Hampshire natives are kind of on the same page as us. Like, you do have, like, some people who aren't really, like, all the way about freedom or are just completely against it.
Definitely not keen. You can do that on keen.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, you go to northern New Hampshire or more rural parts of the state, and people, like, if you could just kind of explain it to them and have, like, real human conversations with people. Like, I interact with a lot of non-libertarian folks, you know, in my travels doing my job. And I would say, like, most of the population of New Hampshire is pretty much on the same page as us. Yeah, we might, you know, like, defer on some topics like immigration and stuff like that, some places where they might be a little bit more conservative. But, like, I feel like, really, if people, you know, a bunch of us move to Berlin, I don't actually want to do that. It's just an example. But I do feel like the people that already live there probably would be on the same, like, on board with some of the stuff that we might be doing. So it wouldn't really be, like, this evil, like, mastermind thing where we're, like, you know, destroying their community, evil libertarians, like some people might want to make it out to seem.
Yeah, they do try to act like that about Grafton, which was the Free Town Project. I mean, it was, it came after the Free State Project, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And it wasn't part of the Free State Project, but there are people who consider themselves Free Staters, and they all wanted to move to one town and change the laws there.
So I think that the issue with Grafton, obviously I don't know all of the details, but I think a big issue was it didn't have, like, the same infrastructure, right? So it's just, like, very, very rural area.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't have, like, kind of the capabilities set up to have a lot of people living there.
This is a big part of what I think the problem was, and also what I would think would probably be a problem even in, like, Charlestown or Berlin would be just, even though it's a small, run-down town, you think, like, oh, nobody cares about... The government people there are high and drunk off of their power, even in their little areas. Like, it seems like small towns, I wouldn't say they're more corrupt, but they're at least just as corrupt as, you know, like, big cities.
Yeah, well, we kind of saw that happen in Croydon, right? You know, like, Jody and some other people up there were making great headway and was doing, like, really, like, awesome stuff up there. And then, you know, the more statist people found out about it. They didn't even know, like, at first. Like, they didn't know anything was going on. So clearly, you know, these people are very involved, and they, you know, they really care about their community. But once they got wind of it,
and
then people kind of, you know, put a stop to a lot of that stuff, unfortunately.
The second part about it, and Croydon is a great example that I wasn't even thinking of, is that you'd have to get ahead of the propaganda, because they were trying to make it sound like Ian Underwood is trying to get rid of the school, and
it's
people were
so
just
dumb,
acting completely emotionally as if that was happening, when really he was proposing an amendment to the budget, which would have still given them plenty of money to have a school, and they acted like he was like, and the other thing was the mountain here, the Gunstock.
Yes.
So
yes.
There's a mountain ski resort in New Hampshire in, I forget the place, Belknap County, but I don't remember the town. And there's a mountain called Gunstock, or at least, like, I don't know.
Yeah, the ski resort or whatever is called that.
It's Gunstock. Well, somebody just wanted to, a Free Stater state rep just wanted to do an audit on, like, hey, where's all the money going to and from involving gun stock? And they're like, we're all quitting. You can't do this. And then they came out with this propaganda telling the townspeople, Mike Sylvia wants to take or get rid of gun stock. Can you believe that? And people voted them out.
Yeah, it was complete lies. Yeah. So, and that's, you know, a great point, Bonnie, where you kind of do have to get ahead of the propaganda. And I think it is important, and we're like super getting off topic, but I still think this is like a really good conversation to have and a good discussion to have. It is important for, I feel like some free staters and libertarian people can kind of get a little too isolated.
Mm.
You know, it's like we're making a lot of great headway and we're doing a lot of great things within our own community, but we also need to branch out to the local communities. So when we move to a place, like, it's important to also, like, be interacting with people who were born and raised here, and be making those connections. And I think a lot of, like, activism that people are doing can kind of be taken the wrong way, and it can kind of be a huge turnoff for a lot of people that already live here. So it's important, in my opinion, to be strategic with activism and to be strategic with how we're presenting things and how we're talking to people and just making an effort to really reach out to the people that live here. Because I think if they understood the real, like, mission behind a lot of the things that Free Staters are doing, they would be on board.
I think that the best kind of activism is the kind that shows people that there's a problem at all with what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with cop block activism, plenty of people said what you're saying about cop blockers. Like, oh, you're making us look bad. You're making people that live here not like us. But it also showed there's plenty of, like, very viewed videos and plenty of people who have had their minds open to what policing really is like by seeing videos of cops, you know, doing things like sticking a stick in Derek J's tires. I know that wasn't necessarily cop block video. I don't remember who recorded that or anything, but, you know, I don't know. I think a lot of times the locals just are just comfortable with whatever's going on. It's like, this is how it's always been. No one has ever shown them how the evil of, you know, that's inherent in the system.
Yeah, well, I would say that's like the majority of people, right?
And, you know, small towns, they all know each other already.
Yeah.
They all know each other, so they're like, oh, Frank down the road, he's a great guy. I'm not going to listen to this other person who's saying that he's doing this terrible thing.
Mm.
I already know him.
Yeah.
So,
they
already have biases ingrained into the community itself.
Exactly.
And the thing about Keen is just like, sometimes I just don't see myself as, like, a permanent resident here. I'm glad Ian left the room. Because it's just, like, anytime I've done anything interacting with the local people here, it's like, why don't you guys just secede and become Massachusetts? Like, honestly. Like, I went and was asking for people to sign for, this was before Jeremy Kaufman was really that vocal about stuff that has since pissed people off even, but I was asking for people to sign.
Before the video,
Well, yeah, definitely before his campaign videos came out, I was saying, like, war is retarded, stuff like that, but.
Or, no, wasn't it war is gay?
War is gay, and something else is retarded. Climate change is retarded, I don't know. So purposely really offensive videos, but.
Yeah, that were hilarious.
They didn't know anything about Jeremy Kaufman, they just knew that I was asking, will you sign this, petition to allow the libertarian candidate for Senate to be on the ballot, and people were like, are you a free stater? Libertarian? No way. Like, just like, they just didn't even want you to be on the ballot. It's not even like, will you vote for libertarian? I'm just asking you to ask to allow them to be on the ballot. You know,
I think that you're making a great point here, because I feel like Keene is very different from the rest of New Hampshire. Even, like, maybe, you know, even, like, Manchester and stuff.
Right,
like,
it is different.
Yeah, it is very, like, Massachusetts vibes.
And it's close to Vermont, too. So it's like,
yeah,
plenty of people here are literally from Vermont and Massachusetts, like the two of you lovely ladies.
Mm-hmm.
But you're very different than the people that you talk about coming from Massachusetts, is my point.
That's why we left.
Yeah, exactly. Well, apparently those people left too, but they didn't get the memo, I guess, that this were. Well, you know what? And we'll see this, like, where people are like, Massachusetts is terrible, so I'm going to move to New Hampshire. So you get a lot of that in the border towns, right? So people want to live in, like, Mason and Ringe and those border towns so they can still commute to their jobs in Massachusetts or in Boston. And what happens is they vote, but they bring their bad politics up with them. And it's like, why don't you realize that is what ruined your state in the first place? So it's like a lot of liberal people are fleeing from various states because they're like, oh, you know, New York, you know, and Massachusetts, they became, you know, they're not what they used to be. And they don't understand, like, logically, they cannot reason and understand what happened, like the series of events that led to places like Massachusetts and New York changing.
Yeah, the other thing is just they'll move away because, well, like a friend was just telling this at lunch, was that he's from Boston, and during like 2020, things got really expensive. Well, they were already like going to get expensive anyway because of inflation, and a whole bunch of people just were like, you know what, Boston's too expensive to live in. I'm going to move to Portland, Maine, and now Portland, Maine has the same problem with everything's really expensive.
That's what's happening with all the states surrounding California too, like Utah, Arizona, all those states. All the prices are going way up. Because everybody's leaving California and moving to those states.
Right. I left Utah in August of 2018. And then I went back to visit my parents in May of 2019. Oh, my God. It wasn't even a year. And the town Tooele, which is west of Salt Lake City by like 45 minutes, I stayed there because I didn't want to go on the military base that my parents lived on. And I'm not joking. It felt like it was doubled in population. And I couldn't find a hotel room that night very easily, like with a few days in advance from when I went to go book it. It took me, I just had to happen to find someone with a cancellation or something. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. Like, Tooele isn't some kind of big city. It's like, I don't know, 30,000 people. Or it was when I first moved there, so now I don't even know, because it seriously felt like it doubled. Mm-hmm. There was just a whole bunch of new building houses, like suburban-looking houses. It was crazy. But, yeah, that seems to be what happens. People leave their states that they have messed up, and they want to go mess up other ones. I feel like the only reason we got onto the subject was because I was going to say I've had this plan in my head. Well, not even a plan. Just this dream that we had that I can just take some land in New Hampshire, like a whole bunch of it, buy it myself, or not just myself, but like with a cooperative, and then tear down all the trees and replant some trees and make a mega city with no welfare. Wouldn't that be great? Cities are great. They have karaoke, but if they have homeless people, they're not so great. What do you think? 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.